Thanks for joining us today. My name is Richard, and my guest is Nick Knave of Red Guitar.
Yeah.
From Kansas City, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of.
Pretty much. Yeah. Can you lay it down? Where do you guys live?
Well, gosh, we have seven guys in the band, and we all live in Kansas City metro area. I think it's like five different official suburbs or towns. I think two of us live in actually Kansas City, Missouri. So, but yeah, you know, the metro area. Olathe, Mission, let's see here.
Just Lake, stop there.
It's Lake Quivira.
Not getting any
cooler.
Oh, yeah,
cooler. Go on. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But the reason we brought you in is because we are enjoying a new CD that you have, and the name of it is...
Beauty Will Save the World.
And it is the second Red Guitar disc.
That's right.
And now available at your local record store.
Yeah.
And also to be celebrated this coming Saturday, April...
1st.
At the Bottleneck.
No joke.
With...
Basin and Dr. Wu.
Okay, cool. Yeah. And no joke, man, I'm really enjoying the CD. It's in my iPod already, as I may have mentioned to you.
Yeah.
And I did like the last one as well. It was called... Songs
based on a blue story.
Yes, based on a blue story. And seems like Red Guitar really is hitting your stride musically to me, after what I see is many years of developing local bands in Lawrence.
Yeah.
Others perhaps that I don't know about.
Yeah.
Fill us in on the backstory a little bit.
Well, you know, the band is really, gosh, it probably starts in about 1994, our story, and it's we were in a band called, me and the other main songwriter, singer, John McKenna, were in a band together called Huckleberry. It was very acoustic, college, folk, pop, rock sort of stuff, and we did really well, and then we kind of went our separate ways for a little while and came back together kind of about 2000. Just started playing together again kind of as a duo, and then kind of started adding musicians back in, and it just kind of became Red Guitar in 2003. We've always split songwriting duties, you know, 50-50. It's always been a total partnership with
50-50
myself and
John. Among seven people.
50-50 among, yeah, exactly, if you can do the math. But anyway, that's kind of our story. And just have been doing Red Guitar since 03 under that name with our two discs, and played a ton of shows. I mean, we're mostly just local, but we definitely have played, you know, I think it's probably like, you know, 25 shows a year, something like that, over the last few years. So it's been fun.
Cool. Well, let's listen to a little more music.
Let's do it.
So let's start out talking right about music and a little bit of your formative influences. What records do you look up to most? And, you know, if any had a direct effect on Red Guitar sound, what would you...
You know, I think you can definitely draw some direct links to some Springsteen, some Neil Young, some Jackson Browne. I think it's that vein. I mean, personally, even some Bob Dylan, kind of the vein of American songwriting, maybe classic American rock and roll songwriters. I think that's probably the way we would identify ourselves or categorize ourselves, and certainly the most influential stuff for me as a songwriter, and I know for John too, is that kind of vein. You know, I don't know if you'd call it Americana or if you just call it you know, American rock and roll. I mean, that's kind of how I like to think of our band. It's not really an official category. When you go through, there's like, you know, 300 genres of music, but it definitely feels like American rock and roll, born in the USA, so to speak. And that's kind of how, I think that's how I see it. And that would be our main influences for sure.
Mm-hmm. You guys have a unique situation where your songwriting styles are pretty similar. And in fact, your voices are pretty close, you know, and it works well in the harmony situations.
Yeah.
How long did that actually take to develop a rapport where you could harmonize well?
Well, you know, it's funny because we literally, we kind of a mutual friend of us said, hey, you guys, you should sing together. This is like in 1994. And it was, I mean, it was pretty magical. It was like, you know, first time sitting down with guitars and voices, and it sounded pretty good. And, you know, we've always felt like what we do is kind of greater than the sum of its parts. So, I mean, we're both talented folks, but there's something there when we're together singing, writing together, pushing each other to better, you know, better and better songs, hopefully, that kind of, you know, creates that mojo that maybe you could call Red Guitar.
Cool. What track are we on right now?
This is track 2. This is Beauty Will Save the World, the title track.
Okay. The unfortunate thing is that when I hear your CD, I hear hits, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, you have some hits. I'll give it to you, lay it out just like that. And you got to create your own buzz when you're an independent band,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And maybe you could tell me a little bit about how you're doing that.
Well, you know, I think one of the great parts about our story is, like you just said, I mean, we are truly, totally independent. And we do this, you know, there's a sense of, maybe a long time ago, it was doing it to get rich and famous or whatever, to be that, you know, that popular guy that's playing down the street. But now, I mean, we kind of take pride in that it's all independent. I mean, we do all of our own production, our recording, or, you know, we kind of do all of our management, booking, all that stuff, and we just keep trying to put our name out there in every way we can, and trying to play shows. On the weekends in Lawrence and Kansas City primarily, and trying to get radio stations to be interested in us. And we had some good interest with the last record, and we're hoping with this one we can, you know, hopefully find that hit or that, you know, there are stations who have the power to play a local song and actually do something interesting and positive with it. And so we're kind of working on those stations and trying to find out if we could do that. Because we do, you know, as much as we want to be cool or whatever, we do write hooky, basically poppy songs, just by virtue of the songs that we write. I mean, we just kind of gravitate that way. So we're hoping that, we always hope the songs are catchy and accessible to folks to pick up the CD and listen to it. That's always the goal. It's not really to be cool or to be, or to make people's ears hurt or something. It's just, you know, let's get something that people, I mean, we like to listen to it. And so we hope that other people will too. So.
The production value is pretty good, yeah, especially on this new record. I'm curious if you pulled kind of a hat trick sort of surprise by like doing it in your basement and, you know, I'm just fooled, or if you actually went into a studio and really spent some money.
It's a basement tape.
But is it really?
Yeah. It's, I mean, our guy, one of our guitar players, Tim Suttle, has a studio in his basement, and we did the first record there too. This one we did as well. And I think the difference on this one is we really conscientiously stripped away formulas and just said, with each song, let's just throw everything but the kitchen sink on each track and see if we can create something, you know, something more modern, a little more progressive, and a kind of a pop rock production thing. And I think it worked for the most part. It feels really good to me when I listen to mm-hmm. it. So,
but I mean, all of the producers involved, mixing, all within the band.
Everything, yeah, 100%. Cool. Yeah, mastered by a guy in Memphis. Other than that, all our own homegrown stuff. So,
I mean, does this gentleman that you spoke of,
yeah,
his name Tim,
yeah,
does he double as a sound engineer on the side, or is he just real good at this stuff?
He's just really good at it.
Yeah,
yeah, he just has it. It's, you know, moderately a hobby, I guess, but he just is really, really good at it. I mean, he does other stuff, but this is his. I mean, he's really talented.
Cool.
When we finish it, we're like, I'm always like, dude, Tim, you're so talented. Like, I mean, you really put this stuff together well. I mean, it really sounds seamless. And so, I mean, it's just kind of a fortunate thing to be networked with the right people and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
have them in your band and stuff.
Cool. Well, we'll listen to a little bit more. And I will mention that it sounds even better when it's not being played through a little CD player hooked into our podcast.
Yeah.
Here you go. sort of caught the end of that one, so we'll keep going with coming up on track number 4.
Which is called Did You Punch Me?
Okay, and this is an older track that you've been playing, right?
Yeah, we did. Gosh, it's probably been written probably written 2 years ago, worked up live. We did it on a Sunflower Cablevision.
Turnpike,
that's the thing. And like a year ago, and just kind of had been working on it and letting it kind of grow and made it onto this CD, so...
So, tell me some of your peer bands in Kansas City and or Lawrence or Missouri that you play with frequently, and a little bit about them, maybe?
Yeah, we play with a couple good friends' bands. One's called Builder, and we played a bunch with them at the, we've played several times with them at the Hurricane in Kansas City. And they're in this vein of us, but a little more towards the I don't know, Dinosaur Jr. might be a good reference, a little harder edged. And then we play with a bunch of guys named Dr. Wu from Kansas City, and they are, they're younger than us, generally speaking, and they kind of have a Weezer vibe, but almost like a more, turning to a more straight ahead rock a little bit lately. Very poppy songwriting, and like very catchy, danceable, very fun. They're great. We're playing with them on Saturday night at the Bottleneck. This will be our second time with them at the Bottleneck.
Cool.
And you know, we've played, those are the guys we played with the most, and then we played with a few other bands, and we you know, we played with Arthur Dodge one time in Kansas City, and sort of considered him legendary because we all listened to him, you know, 10 years ago in Lawrence, and that was great too. So
cool.
Yeah.
You guys, how many of you have kids?
Oh goodness, we have we have 5 of us have kids, and we have another guy that plays drums with us occasionally that has another kid also. So I sort of lump him in too, and we have, we have a lot of kids in the band.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of kids.
So generally 30 to 35.
Yep, that's about right.
And when you get to this point in your life, you know, the notion of ever being successful, quote unquote, does that still appeal to you?
Yeah, it totally appeals. But I think I've described it. I don't live my life, or we don't orchestrate this band or really anything to kind of be like a rifle shot straight to the top of the charts or to that kind of lifestyle, but rather just try to kind of do what we do, do it with excellence, do it as well as we can do it, and try to create a buzz, create a fan base. But in the end, I mean, it's really not up to us whether we get that break, and we don't have the energy or the time to spend, you know, 19 hours a day creating buzz and, you know, creating that big break for ourselves. So yeah, it appeals to us totally. Very interesting, and you know, I'd love for that to happen. That'd be still the dream of my life, really, to be able to do that on a grand stage. But we love doing this too. I mean, we really do. It's not, you know, we're not just.
But those dreams don't die when you have kids.
they don't die. No, you're right.
Yeah,
they don't die. They stay there, and just. Amidst all the crying and the diapers and things like that.
Right. Okay, so we got track number 5 here.
It's called The Sting.
Okay.
It's kind of a ballad. Psychedelic soul, it was described as by somebody.
Well, here, see for yourself. Yeah. I need to wake up to something real. I don't think I've been this far touched by the energy of who you are. In the close, steaming dark, we can live in the moment. I can waste no more time. I need more of your heart on your mind. Don't you know that the moment is more than I can bear? Behind your door, circling your orbit, well, I need you more. So let's go back in time to Lawrence, like 1990, whatever, you were here playing in Huckleberry.
Yeah.
That was a time when, like, The Crossing was still a venue.
Yep, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And how was it different?
Well, you know, the bottleneck, for instance, I mean, it was basically, there was buzz every night. I mean, it was hard to get into open mic night at the bottleneck on Monday nights. It was, there were local and national bands kind of combined, just creating buzz. I mean, the bottleneck was known around here as a place you could go. If you're a music fan, it wasn't going to be extreme music. It was going to be rock and roll. Yeah, let me put it this way. If you're a rock and roll fan, you could probably go pay the cover at the bottleneck just about any night and be pretty happy with what you saw. I know that was kind of the main, you know, the kind of the shining light back in the mid-90s for us. And we love, you know, when we finally got to play there, it was a big deal and we loved it. And we worked really hard to pack it and played a few times at the Granada. And, you know, Lawrence, I really feel like now it's rising again, but it definitely kind of dipped a little bit after that mid-90s kind of peak. When I think it got mentioned in Rolling Stone as like a buzzworthy, you know, music town or something like that. The Laser was playing free format, you know, indie modern rock music. There was definitely a buzz. It was fun to be in a band and have big dreams back then.
What sort of indications do you see of it coming back around?
You know, I just see a group of, the first thing I see is some promoters bringing back great cutting edge modern, you know, indie rock bands and doing well with those shows at multiple venues. I see still like the AAA folks like James Blunt or Nickel Creek and all that stuff coming to Liberty Hall doing really well. And then I see local bands. There's a group of local bands that have the value of songwriting, I think. It's edgy production and definitely on a cutting edge, but the songs are great, the vocals are great. I mean, it's like, you can go and, Abilene is another band we've played with that I just love. They kind of have links to the past too. And
Heidi Phillips of Frog Pond.
Yeah. And I mean, just like great songs and just great vocals. And I don't know, it feels good, you know, to be back in this, for this scene to kind of be coming back a little bit. I mean, I always carry the torch for Lawrence because I love it. It's a formative place of my musical development in every way, shape, and form. And so I love it.
Did you try and ride the coattails of the paw stick thing at all?
Well, if you can listen to this music, you might know that even if we tried, we probably wouldn't have done it. But that was paw and stick, and that stuff was huge. I mean, there was some serious national buzz. It was like, you know, the Lawrence scene and sound, and you know, we kind of write these pop songs, and you know, we're kind of in the Bob Marley, John Denver, you know, vein or something. I mean, a good way, you know.
And I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it. I guess maybe like catchy, you know, songs and stuff. But anyway.
You think you sound like John Denver?
No, I think John Denver was an influence, though. I can vouch for that.
Well, that's okay, you know? I guess. Yeah. He's starting to come back around a little bit.
That's right.
At least as far as actually not being spoken in the same breath with laughter.
Yeah.
Sorry, John.
Yeah.
I think we're listening to all these wonderful choruses in mono, but yeah. I'll take the blame for that one. This CD sounds real good, I swear.
Where's the banjo part? Oh, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, right. Have you ever plugged something in halfway and all you end up getting are like two instruments out of like five?
Yeah, especially like on Beatles records or something like that.
Yeah. Like if the plug is only halfway in there, like it's like, why? It's only drums and John Lennon. What's...
Yeah, exactly.
Very strange. So if people want to know more about Red Guitar...
Yep.
What do you suggest?
Go to our website, our official band website, which is www.red-guitar.com. And then we have a MySpace site that's also helpful, has a lot of information, which is myspace.com/redguitarband. And those are the two best places to find out what's happening with us. And we send out emails periodically. We just, you know, schedule updates and stuff like that, and shows we're playing. So those are the probably the three best ways to find out what we're doing and where we're playing. And we're playing a lot. I mean, our goal is, we kind of think, I mean, we should play more. That's kind of the point of a band. I mean, you want to practice, you want to have a band, quote unquote, but then you also want to go play shows and let the chips fall, you know. Do what you can do, you know, go out there and do the best you can, and get people a chance to come and see you, basically.
How often do you practice?
You know, if we do a show, I mean, we probably practice 2 times a month. When we're in between shows or kind of ramping up with some new material, we'll do once a week. That's, you know, 2 to 4 times a month.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Well, good luck with the new record. I hope it goes, you know, as far as it can. Maybe
yeah.
You'll be... have the sold out buses instead of James Blunt. Nothing against James Blunt.
He is beautiful, though.
He is beautiful. Thanks for joining us. We'll go out with a little music and see you around Lawrence.
Sounds good.
All right. Crash sand in another town.